Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And this is a podcast. We ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for all of you. I can't believe it's December.
I don't know how. Listen, people say it every year. I don't know how it happened.
How did it happen? I don't know. I don't know when you're listening to this. It's December 1st for us, but it's later in December for wherever your ears are.
Yeah, the future.
Yeah. So we're taking a little break for the holidays just to stay sane. But we invite you, if you are craving more Ruined and you're not a Patreon member, to please enjoy our dozens, hundred. How many movies are in our Patreon?
We're not dozens. Numbers, gals. I'll tell you that much. At least dozens.
Yeah, we're not numbers. We're not time. We're not space. We're not science. But we are gals in the void, and there's so many, there's a lot of good bangers in there that I forget are in the Patreon and are not in the main feed that if you have not heard, you want Human Centipede? We didn't do Human Centipede, but we covered that
Speak
film.
Speak for yourself. No, but I did see you have sex with a human centipede, and yes. I've been meaning to talk to you about that. And yes. Give you two big thumbs up, Allison.
Yeah, family fun.
Oh, right, the human centipede is your family. That's right, I forgot.
Yeah.
Teeth. That was a great one.
Oh, Cam, Teeth was great.
Excellent. Cloverfield, of course.
Yeah. Tremors from last month's They Ate theme is in there. Mm-hmm. I have a Kristen, friend of the pod, she texted me. She was like, you did Tremors? I have to listen right now. So, there's a lot of good gems in
the
there.
Others, have, Shutter the others. Island, Chud.
Chud. So if you have not joined our Patreon, you can. There's a bunch of different tiers and a bunch of different things. Ad-free episodes of the main feed. You get them in advance, too. I think Monday's episodes drop. Oof, we should have.
I don't know why you are just wiling out with giving them numbers and facts. That is not our strong suit, okay?
No, it is not. But you get episodes early, you get episodes without ads, and there's bonus episodes and live show tickets included in different tiers. So, go check out patreon.com/ruined. Boy, we don't know. Don't ask us.
Wow, we did a great job. But the point on the end of the sentence is, if you would like more of this, there is so much more that you could be listening to.
If you want
to.
More of this specifically.
We have a volume that is staggering. Look, are we ever going to get the reach of, say, a Joe Rogan? No. But I would like to get to the per month episode listen of a Joe Rogan. I want you to be listening to us every waking moment.
And we're putting out enough content for you to do that. So do that. Join our Patreon if that is of interest to you. And there's video. If you're listening to this and you're like, I wonder what it looks like when they record this. Wow, you can find out.
I don't know why. But
I don't know why.
We do it. If you want to see, again, two middle-aged women without makeup on.
My computer barely has a camera.
Again, what kind of perverts you are that you enjoy that, but thank you very much for watching it. We appreciate
if that's it. Something you like, that is there. So I don't know. Just this is our plug and plea for you to join the Patreon if you haven't yet, because we're supposed to promote ourselves. And
absolutely. And look, we
are not good at that or many other things. So
we need to get Allison a two-bedroom for the human centipede.
Right. Right now it's just living in the hallway.
Yeah, sleeping on a big dog bed.
Yeah. All right. Well, Hallie, how are you?
I'm enraged. I'm in a terrible mood. So yeah. I'm glad that we're doing this because I was in a better mood after we record.
Me too.
I am just, just unsatisfied with the world. Yes. I am in a funk. I'm moody. Mm-hmm. How about you?
same across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And add in that I just inhaled a chicken tender Caesar salad.
Oh,
my number heaven. One food.
Mm-hmm.
But eating salad quickly, that's not fun.
That's how you're going to die.
I feel like I'm a lawnmower. Just eating like crunchies.
Lawnmower woman.
Lawnmower woman. So that, yeah, I'm feeling similar, and it being the end of the year certainly doesn't help the other existential and global depressing news items that are constantly just like flying at us through our screens.
But George Santos just got voted out. Yeah. Honestly, he is, again, a symptom of the colossal rotten molar that is the American political system. But he was one of the more fun ones, you know. He made
kept
a
us
laugh.
On our toes.
He had a sense. I don't know if he had a sense of humor, but he was a sense of humor.
Yeah, yeah. He does feel like a Veep character. Like it is like 100%. Like you're like, how was this happening? And we were all like, well.
I think he also thought that. And then when he left today, he said, "To hell with this place. Why would I want to be here?" It's like that. There is some
iconic truth
to that.
That is the way said, I want to leave when I get fired from things moving forward.
And it just shows to go like anyone can be president. And it's like we used to hear that as kids and be like, "Oh, that's encouraging." And now it fills you with terror.
It's a threat.
Oh, anyone. You think this motherfucker couldn't become president? Wrong.
Yeah, the dumbest person you know can become president. So the
most evil person you know.
Let that sink
in. It doesn't matter. All they have to have is kind of a
some money.
I don't know, je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
And then they're good to go. But you know, RIP to George Santos or whatever his actual name is. Again, I believe
who
he has an assumed identity.
Certainly not us.
He will be going to prison though, whatever his identity is now. And we wish him well.
Hey guys, it's Allison. I'm just popping in to tell you that we are doing another live show for December. Obviously, we have to close out the year with a live show, and we are doing The Exorcist Believer on Thursday, December 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, if that math is correct. And you can get your tickets at moment.co/ruined, and we'll do all the fun that we always do with the games and the chat and... You know, we'll close out the year together with The Exorcist Believer. So get your tickets for Thursday, December 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific at moment.co/ruined. Okay, bye.
Let's get into it. We're doing party horror for the month. And we're doing
I thought you were saying party whore, like whore.
You know, I never had a full party whore phase. I guess I could do it now, but at 40, it just reads different. You know what I mean?
It's just exhausting.
The parties have to be at 4 p.m. It has to be a during the day whore situation. And I also am not drinking, so it has to be dead sober. Good. That's, you know, that's what you want. But not a party whore is what you're saying.
Not a party whore. I don't know. It probably tread on that a little bit at times, depending on who you talk to. But you know what?
You know
I was
what?
Young. And now
40 is
I'm
the
tired.
New 30. You know what I mean?
I just want to lay down with the cat all night.
And again, you could do that as long as the party is at 4 p.m. Please start holding parties at 4 p.m.
Yes.
For our
so I can be asleep by 9.
Yeah, middle-aged whoredom.
Yeah.
But no, I was going to say party horror movies, which we're doing for the festive season. Mm. And we're doing a movie that you might think, well, you should know this in February. And to which I say, I didn't want to. I wanted to watch it now.
Yes.
So that movie is, of course, the original My Bloody Valentine from 1981. And it was, of course, remade. I hadn't seen either. I have not, of course, seen the remake as of yet. But this was an absolute treat. And I'm so glad. Some real fun moments. It's a Canadian film directed by George Mihalka and written by John Beard. It was a blast and a half. And I couldn't have enjoyed it more if you had paid me, which I guess in some sense that's the goal of this.
Yes.
Eventually. And it had an actor named Neil Affleck. So I just wanted to see if he was related to Ben real quick. Oh. And the answer is no.
No.
All right, great. Well, you know, he's dynamite in this movie. So let us begin. I would always like to have Allison watch the trailer. Allison, what did you think of the trailer for My Bloody Valentine?
No, thank you. Mm-hmm. I did not care for it. I have to say, like, in general, like, that kind of gas mask. Is that a gas mask? Is that what you would call that?
Yeah, let's call it a gas mask.
Or industrial mask or whatever that covers your eyes, which become like round, dark, you know, vacuums of hell. Mm-hmm. I don't care for that ever. Mm-hmm. And did you watch Chernobyl, the HBO Limited series?
No, I really need to. I haven't.
Even in settings where the genre is not horror, I'm like, well, now this is a horror movie because they're wearing gas masks. Like, I mean, also like the events of Chernobyl are, of course, like worse than any horror movie, and it was intentionally supposed to like give you that feeling. But also, I'm like, but that is just like what you would wear,
yes,
in those environments, and it is just a scary. What's that old that like mask from like what was it from the plague or like from
yes yeah
early like yeah. Where it was like the long beak.
Yes, and I believe they put steampunk herbs in it as sort of an attempt pre-germ theory. Yeah. To yeah. Herbal material to keep away the plague. Look, yeah. We were trying
and
stuff.
The horrific God knows smell we of all the dead people around you at all times, probably.
There is something there though, where it's like, oh, well, they were perhaps in some ways blocking the flow of air in the way that now yeah. we wear masks. So yeah. it could be that maybe the herbs weren't necessarily doing anything, but the actual physical obstruction.
Yes.
Could have, you know, we're not plagueologists, but no. Boy, what's crazy about the mask, which does look like a bird, God, that's insane. It looks
yeah,
terrifying.
Why? Like, it really is scary. And, like, even, like, modern ones that aren't like that, that are actual, like, mm-hmm. sealed on gas masks, like the one in the trailer, like, it has the same vibe. It's just very scary.
Yeah, there is the human form with a industrial face
yes.
is a classic horror figure.
Super upsetting.
And boy, do they make a meal. And I also did in this movie, of course, we're going to be spending a lot of time in the mines, Allison.
Oh,
it's mine related. The whole time I'm like, can you be in the mine? Like, can you? There's people walking around without the masks. People are just wearing normal clothes.
So.
I don't know what they are mining, but it doesn't seem
safe. I don't
think
you can just walk down there like for a stroll.
I don't think so. But of course, these kids do because you know what these kids get up to. Always playing in the mine. We also take a baseline scary for Allison. Allison, how scary do you find the mines?
Very scary. I don't want to go underground. I mean, I go underground all the time, which is like,
oh, that's true.
something I just put out of my mind. I don't like a tunnel. Mm-hmm. I don't like the subway to me is like an abstraction in a way that I like don't quite feel the undergroundness of it very
yeah.
often, unless you're just like stuck. And then you're like, I'm underground.
You know,
but just moving
yeah.
through, I don't really have that issue. But like driving through a tunnel, no thank you. And I don't want to descend into a mine ever.
Yeah, I do remember there'd be some times you'd be going under the river and the train would stop. You'd
and
have this
like,
suddenly remembrance. Ah, yes.
Ah, yes. I'm under the river.
If something were to go tragically awry, I'm just here under
I'm
the river
dead.
With all these people.
Yep.
Exactly. Well, that stands to reason. I'm also not a big mine head myself.
No.
And then based entirely on the trailer and our brief conversation, Allison, would you like to guess the twist in My Bloody Valentine?
Guess the twist.
Okay, the trailer didn't give me like a ton of information about what's mm-hmm. happening aside from like it's Valentine's Day in Valentine wherever. Is that true?
Yes.
Valentine Bluffs.
Valentine Bluff. Valentine Bluffs.
I'm going to guess that the killer, seems mm-hmm. there's a killer, was injured in a mining accident that was due to neglect from the town.
Allison, you hit the nail on the head. It's
yeah.
almost like you've heard the plot of hundreds of movies, which are available
yes.
now
on
Patreon for you to read. You hit that one on the head. Any guesses about, what, anything else other than that? Perhaps at the end of the film, do you think something is revealed?
Horrific facial scarring.
All right.
That's
now let's get to it.
My guess.
We open with, you knew it when you started the episode. We open with the mine, okay?
Yeah.
We have two miners doing what has to be the most unsafe. I'm not a mining safety inspector yet.
Yes.
I don't have my degree. You have to, you know, do your final presentation. There are two miners who are going to the abandoned part of the mine.
Not great. Don't do that.
Well, they're going to fuck, Allison. And
no. Go anywhere else.
Well, you know, again, in a airless, lightless, chemical
yeah.
tube full of rot and mold and guano. One of the miners, it turns out, is a beautiful woman, and she is wearing, she takes off her, so she has a jumpsuit and also the gas mask, pulls off her gas mask, shakes out her long, beautiful blonde hair. She has a full beat of 80s makeup, so it's like, she spent a lot of time on it. And a white bra that would be, I imagine, if you were to be a miner who wore a bra, absolutely filthy. Fucking soaked, with sweat and grime.
Yeah.
There's no way, I'm not a miner, you'd be wearing a sports bra or some kind of special mining bra. They might make those. She's just wearing, like, just your regular, I'm like, there's no conceivable way. No. The other miner, a man, sort of swings his pickaxe dangerously, but it actually just buries in the wall behind her. And apparently that really gets her going. Maybe that's some minor foreplay thing, you know, the call of the miner, the swing of the pickaxe. And she goes to reach for the hose coming out of his mask, and he stops her from removing his mask and says, don't. I'm like, okay. But then it means, so she's basically in her bra to the waist. Okay. She's touching the outside of his mask and his jumpsuit, which have to be covered in whatever they're mining.
Yeah, which they assume is like dark colors, like like soot.
Yeah, because they don't ever say what the mine does. I'll be absolutely honest.
I was going to ask, like, what are we mining? Like, I guess, like, assume it, like, is this in Canada or in the U.S.?
I think it's in Canada, but I don't know about it.
Like, I still got to imagine, like, coal?
Let's say coal. So, right, so you're mining coal. You've got to get coal dust. I just don't think the human, like, if I'm a half-nude woman, I don't want to touch the coal dust onto my hands.
No.
Nor my beautiful woman's body.
No. White bra.
But again, she's sort of, you know, I'm like, she's going to get mesothelioma or whatever you get down there. I don't know. But maybe that's her kink, right? That's her right. She's cressing his hose. And then it starts to be like, okay, this feels like it's like for like only miners. Like, this is a very niche sexual experience. And we hear his breathing gets faster. We hear every time the killer is around, we hear the breathing within the mask.
Yes, the breathing was really a chilling part of the trailer as well.
And he touches, she has a heart tattoo on her breast, and he reaches out and touches it. And of course, as all of our killers are driven insane when their lust is activated, he grabs the woman by her shoulders and slams her to the wall, burying the pickaxe into her back through her sternum, killing her.
Ooh.
And I'm like, this woman went into this mine, risked black lung to fuck you, and this is how you repay her?
Ugh.
Title card, My Bloody Valentine.
I mean, quite an open.
Allison, we have text on the screen. It is Thursday, February 12th. And I love this for this kind of movie because it's like, I just need to know, is it Valentine's Day yet or is it Valentine's Day?
Yes.
So they're either like, I need to be alerted. It's like, no, I don't care. Just say, okay, it's Valentine's Day. That's when things are really going to hit. Shit's going to hit the fan, right? So we see a bunch of miners leaving at quitting time from the mine. So we are outside the town of Valentine Bluffs. It is a mining town. Everybody who works there, lives there, works at the mine. So all these guys who work there are like, in my mind, early 20s, right? So it's like, you're from this town, you go work at the mine. So, you know, they're young, but they also sort of like coupling up, like they all, we eventually meet all their gals, you know, sort of like they're from the town, they work at the mine, they go and they have a few brews, and that's what they're about. And also they pull the whistle at the end of the day. Oh, every workplace should have a whistle.
Yeah.
The satisfaction of a whistle.
Yeah.
And one of the miners says, hey, where's Howard and the rest of the apprentices? Apparently they're apprentices for mining. I didn't know.
Sure.
And the miner says, we left them down there to find their own way up. Gotta learn at some point.
That seems wrong.
And everyone laughs and everyone says, yeah, good luck. That methane buildup down there gonna blow this place to shit sometime. I'm actually terrified of mines, is what I realized from watching this.
Yes, me too.
And I was thinking, like, you know, people would always say, if you went back in time, could you explain to someone how an iPhone works? It's like, you'd have to explain, like, mining minerals. Cool. Like, it would be like, we'd have to go so wide. It's like, I don't know how to explain what mining is. Like,
no.
I don't know how to explain how lithium works. Like, you have to go so broad to explain any electronic now. Hey, no, they would just shoot me. Oh, no, they wouldn't have guns. They would kill me as a witch.
Yes. Set me on fire.
All the guys go, and they all go into, they're sort of like I thought, they all have to take sort of an industrial bath. So they all take their clothes off, and then they are just like under these showerheads scrubbing off. Mind filth, right? These guys are grab-assing to beat the band. It's like they've never seen another man's ass. They are laughing. They're snapping towels. Like, it's 1981, and these guys are having fun, right?
Yeah.
So Howard joins them, and he's like, you guys made us walk up. And I'm like, walk up? What is a mine? Like, what do you mean you walked up?
Yeah, I don't... What?
Eventually, we find out that there's a cart that takes you up, but there's also a ladder.
Stairs.
And ladder okay. that you a can ladder. Climb. It looks like it's like stories tall.
Imagine finishing a grueling workday of physical yes. labor, and then to get home, you have to climb stories of a ladder. No. I would be like, I'm just down. I live in the mine now.
Yeah. One of the miners is teasing Howard and says, you better build up your stamina if you're going to start tangling with Gretchen. And Howard says, I've got a Valentine's Day gift. She'll never forget. And one guy starts, like, thrusting his crotch. He says, right to the heart. And I'm like, I never want to see this ever again.
No.
And one guy is so excited, he literally screams, it's going to be a hot time on Saturday night. And I'm like, damn, dude, you got to
calm down.
Like, you're still at work.
Like, you got 48 hours until that's going to get going. Like, save some of your energy.
People are so excited about Valentine's Day. It's insane.
I can't imagine, like, that being the vibe of any town, specifically of, like, a bunch of men who work in mining.
They all fucking love Valentine's Day. So there'd be this other guy, Axel Palmer. He says his other character will meet. Mike Stravinsky. It's like, you know, he says to him, you do anything with that thing except throw it over your shoulder and burp it, which I assume refers to his tremendous hog, which is just out in front of his coworkers. And Stravinsky whips a bar of soap at him, and he hits another guy in the face. And this whole scene makes me want to puke. Not because of men, because it's like, if I had to...
It's just clean, a lot.
If I had to shower with my coworkers... And one of them was washing their filthy mind sweat dick and balls with a bar of soap.
And then threw it at my face?
Hit me in the face with it? This place needs an HR. This place is uncouth.
Yeah.
It is untoward. Okay?
Time to have a seminar, guys.
Please do not throw your dick soap in my face. So TJ, it turns out, the Southern Miner, has just returned to town. And he's like, you know what? You guys are all the same, just a bunch of clowns. And they're all laughing. And the guy who screamed earlier says, well, something's changed. Axel's going out with Sarah now. And all the guys go, oh, said it. Now, obviously, Sarah was TJ's, you know, steady date. And then he left town and he came back. And so TJ's like, I don't care. I think it's fine. Good. Even though he obviously is devastated.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard. It's hard to go home after a long day of the mine and grab ass with yourself. You know, you want someone else there. I understand that. And TJ said, hey, last one in town has to buy the brews. And so all the men run out to their cars, still pulling up their pants, like their asses out, underwear still out. That's what the early 80s was in my mind. Like, it's very Dukes of Hazzard, like it's people's like pants getting pulled down.
February in Canada? Like, it must be like 12 degrees.
I hadn't even thought about that part. It's Valentine's Day. Your dick's going to freeze your leg, gentlemen. So most of these cars these guys are driving are what I would call a jalopy. Like what Jughead would drive.
Yes.
How long do you think Jughead would last in the mine, Allison? Realistically.
Like, not long. He's too goofy. He'd slip on that bar of soap, you know? He'd fall down a mine. He's, like, still on the ladder.
Yeah. Just close the door on him. So they're all driving to town, racing to get to the bar. We see a sign that says, Welcome to Valentine Bluffs, the little town with a big heart. Cute.
Cute.
We get to the town main street, and it's decorated with hearts and streamers and a sign for the big Valentine's Day dance. Which is also how I would run a fucking town. If anyone would let me a town in Valentine's Day dance, it's all month.
It's happening.
And also pieces of the cars are like flying off as they drive.
barrel towards. Also, I just would like to say, for those who are not watching the podcast right now and are just listening, Hallie has taken off her sweater and it's basically wearing it as a necklace.
I'm too hot, but I don't want to take off my headphones to disrupt this excellent seamless recording.
It looks like a whimsical scarf.
Oh, good. Okay, that's what I'm going for. I'm just hot as hell. I have a space heater because now it's so fucking freezing in every place in LA because no place has insulation. So
LA it's boiling cold hot. Is a very specific kind of cold because it's just like a draftiness that other places don't have. It's awful.
So they go to the dance hall, which is being decorated for the Valentine's Day dance. And they bust in. Howard presses an air horn because he's the fun one.
Yeah, that's fun.
All of the other guys, like girlfriends, are decorating. And so Howard's trying to hit on Gretchen. And she says, stay away from me, which I did think was funny. But then all the other guys have a sweetie, right? And so we see, like, Hollis is one of the other guys. He kisses his girlfriend, Patty. They're all so excited about the Valentine's Day dance. And I guess it's like, if this is the one thing your town does, everyone's going all out. Everyone's making plans. Everyone's going to have fun. Yeah. But TJ is in the corner watching his ex, Sarah, and his coworker, Axel, smooch. Yeah. And everyone knows it's a small town. Everyone knows that this is in the air. And it's like, oh, is TJ going to make a big deal about it? Also, TJ is wearing an excellent outfit. He has a lime green or like a sherbet lime, like a light lime Fair Isle sweater under a blue and black plaid jacket. And then he's cuffed the sweater. So there's like a green at the bottom of the sleeves. It looks so good.
Those excellent kind of styling details are what make a fit.
Absolutely. Excellent. So Howard asked Gretchen to be his date to the dance. She says, dry up. Which I also love. But then it's like the town only has 202 people. But I think they do imply that other people come from other towns. Like it's a big, it's like a, you know, like a county fair. Like people come in. So, you know, there may be one other man there, I suppose. And also, no question, I mean, if you're gay, you got to move out of this town in my mind. I don't think
it just doesn't seem like a place where there's a community.
Out in the main street, we meet Mayor Haniger, who is also the owner of the mine. It's his family mine, and his son is TJ, the guy who just came back to town. He's talking to Mabel, who's sort of his right-hand woman, who also runs the laundromat. And they are so excited. They're like, it's going to be a huge success. This is the first time we've had a Valentine's Day dance in 20 years. Oh. We haven't had a Valentine's Day dance since the incident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always an incident.
It's always an incident. They open the door of the dance hall, and Howard hilariously has covered his head in fake blood and screams and topples out onto the mayor. But everyone does laugh and has a good time. Yes. And as soon as the mayor arrives, his son TJ storms out. He's like, I'm going to get another beer and a really good nose pick. And I'm like, there's so many parts of this movie that make me want to puke. Like, just the way you say that, it's like, ugh. We also meet police chief Jake Newby, who bumps into TJ. And Axel's like, I don't think he really likes working the mine much. And the mayor overhears and says, I don't care. It's not my fault my son failed on the West Coast. If he's a son of mine, he's working in that goddamn mine. It's like, okay. The chief is picking up the mayor to go for a meeting in another town, and they head out. But Howard runs after them and says, hey, mayor, somebody left you a gift at the dance hall. It has your name on it. And it's a heart-shaped box of chocolates. And the mayor has the most human reaction, which is if somebody gave you that, you go, for me?
For me?
For me? And he's so excited. And obviously, as soon as you're like, well, there's a hand in there. There's going to be a dog's head or something, you know. But he's so cute. He's like, for me?
That makes it even more disappointing.
I know.
Whatever happens, happens.
But both Mabel and the chief are the only people he knows. They're like, well, we didn't leave it to him. Maybe you have a secret admirer. And then this chief and the mayor get in the car and drive off. Of course, when the mayor opens it, there's a note that says,
from the heart comes a warning filled with bloody good cheer. Remember what happened as the 14th draws near.
Which isn't exactly, it's not perfect, but it rhymes.
They're making it work.
Allison, the mayor opens the heart-shaped box, and inside is a human heart, and he says, oh, it can't be happening again.
It's like your only reaction to seeing a human heart in a box should be passing out.
Right, yeah, not like, oh, it's happening
not
again. Oh, my
this
God.
This again. That's how I assume towns work, is the mayor owns the mine, and he also goes to the dance.
I think that also is kind of how things have happened.
Yeah.
Now the mayor is Eric Adams, who absolutely would try to buy a mine and absolutely would throw a Valentine's Day dance where you find human heart. Like, that all adds up to me. The chief throws his truck into a UE, and they drive back into town to try to figure out who left this, right? Everybody else, all the miners and their gals, head over to the bar, the Cage. The Cage is also, to my understanding, they also do have an elevator in the mine, but it's for taking down the mine carts. So we have it has like a little train, a elevator, and then a ladder. So
everything
a lot of
I
ways
know
to get out of the way.
About mining, I learned from the underground right levels of Donkey Kong Country on Super Nintendo in 1994.
I mean, that's pretty much what it is. That's pretty much what it looks like.
To me, that's it.
So the guys are competing, and they're playing that game where you take a knife and you stab it between your fingers, and whoever stabs your hand first loses. You know that game.
Yeah,
that old chestnut.
Yeah.
We meet the bartender, my favorite fucking character in this movie, Happy, who is perfectly named because he is not happy at all. He's, in fact, enraged at everyone. Mm-hmm. But luckily has a lot of good institutional knowledge about, say, things that have happened in the town perhaps 20 years ago.
Yes.
And he starts to tell them the local legend. Everyone's like, oh, my God, it's not real. It's a fairy tale. And, of course, meanwhile, we see Sarah is with Axel but keeps looking at TJ, and he's smiling at her hornily. Mm. So we can tell there's a love triangle afoot.
Mm, yes.
And everyone kind of is like, oh, right, okay, Happy. We all know the story. And he goes, and then, of course, he, you know, launches into it. And but the whole thing is very John Cougar Mellencamp. Like, it's like there's a jukebox. Yeah. This is the only bar in town.
I was born in a small town.
Hell yeah. I'm going to die in a small town. A lot of these people are going to die in a small town. So this song does apply to them. So it all started 20 years ago, the night of the big Valentine's dance. It had been a tradition for over 100 years. Everyone was in town for it, except for 7 miners out at Hanniger Mine. 5 men were in the mine, and 2 supervisors were waiting for them to come back up. Also, they shot this in actual mines, which I thought was interesting.
I don't like that.
The 2 supervisors, Allison, were so excited to get to the dance. They left before they made sure the men were safely out, and they did not properly check the methane gas levels in the mine. There was an explosion, and while the men survived, they were buried alive as the town partied. The town, of course, eventually found out they were down there, and they dug for 6 weeks to try and rescue them. Once they broke through, only one man had survived.
Oh, no.
And to do so, he had resorted to cannibalism.
Yeah. Wow. I thought we moved on from cannibalism from last month, but here we are, back again.
It's always going to surprise you. Happy says I was the one who found him. And we see the man. His name is Harry Warden, and he's gnawing on a limb, and you guessed it, screaming. Harry Warden spent the next year in the state mental hospital. The next year, he came back to town and killed the 2 supervisors who had left their post. If you're going to kill somebody, that seems...
That feels, you know...
He then cut out their hearts.
Understandable.
He cut out the supervisors' hearts and stuffed them into heart-shaped boxes. And the town found the boxes at the dance, dripping blood, and a note from Harry warning them to never hold a Valentine's dance again. And according to Happy, Harry Warden comes back to town every Valentine's Day to stalk the Hanniger mine with his pickaxe in case anyone were to break his warning. And this year, it could be you! So Happy says, you should cancel the dance. And everyone's dead silent. And then Howard goes, and they all laugh. And I was like, that story deserved a little bit more than just a raspberry.
Yeah. Agreed.
We also meet the waitress Harriet, which all the men sing a song about her being a virgin. That contains the line, there once was a young barmaid named Harriet who hasn't been robbed of her chariot. And I'm like, I'm going to need somebody to get a pickaxe in the back of the head.
Right now.
Sweet, if you ask me. Yuck. Sarah goes over the jukebox, which is like right next to where TJ is sort of angrily brooding and playing pool. And she turns to him and goes, first of all, this is your fault, which I thought was great.
That's an amazing way to start any conversation.
Yeah.
Just walk over. First of all, this is your fault.
She said, you left town. So what was I supposed to do? So how about you just accept the way things are and not act like a fucking baby about this? Mm. And TJ says, well, maybe I don't like the way things are. And he storms out of the bar. Over in the morgue, Chief Newby is calling the state mental hospital to make sure that Harry Warden is still there. Smart move right out the gate.
Yeah.
Call immediately. Yes. And also the coroner is examining the heart. However, it's nighttime The front office at the state mental hospital is closed, and the night nurse is basically like, they don't give me access to the system. I'm sorry, I just answer the phone. I like take messages. Like, she's like, I can't, I don't know what I just, which is, I think, a funny thing. Where I'm like, I think the night nurse at a state mental facility should have some information. So many things could go wrong at the hospital, right?
Right.
The coroner comes back and he confirms, like, it's a human heart belonging to a young woman around 30. And I'm like, oh, young, 30, that's so nice. And how do you tell that? Just the size?
Yeah, if someone took your heart out, would they be able to, or is it like trees? Like, could you just, like, know how old someone is?
Well, you know, or that it's a woman's heart. But you know what? I think it's right. Because it was hot pink, it had a bow on it. I think that's
why. Oh, yes, and the telltale sign of a woman's heart.
A gal's heart. The coroner says... And they sort of catch him up to speed, like, oh, it was found in a box. He's like, well, yeah, there you have your answer. Harry Warden is back in town. I was like, great, we're calling it out cool. As we see it.
Yeah.
We know that there's a serial killer afoot. We're not going to pretend. We then, of course, see the killer, who we're going to call the miner, as he is in full miner gear, including the gas mask, with a pickaxe. Mm-hmm. We see him walking through the darkened town of Valentine Bluffs and peering in on poor Mabel. No. Who was at the laundromat, and she's washing these, like, fabric hearts that are decorations. And, she's enjoyed her last Valentine's Day, Allison, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
As the miner walks in, he puts another heart-shaped candy box on the table. So when she comes back from the back room, she goes, oh, someone brought me chocolate. Everyone's so excited to see it, as we all would be.
Yeah. I mean, it's like... It's so specific. It's so cute. Like, oh, that's really out of your way. Like, you didn't have to do that. Like, no one's like, oh, good, I needed this. It's like, what a treat.
You know, so you're not like, ew. It's just like, well, it's cute. Even it's if like, I'm not going to eat all these chocolates.
Yeah, it's pretty and I like chocolate.
Unfortunately, on top of the box, Allison, she finds a note and reads,
roses are red, violets are blue. One is dead, and so are you.
Okay, see, that's much better as a poem.
It's still not give. You know what I mean?
Like, it's not giving more syllables. Quite what I want, but it's also
it's
like,
better.
We're getting there. Maybe by the end.
Allison, of course, the lights go off and the miner attacks and pickaxe Mabel to death. Meanwhile, over in the junkyard, the guys, I guess, are after partying after the bar. And we see Stavinsky, Hollis, and Howard. They are cooking food on Hollis's engine, which I've never seen before, but I think you could do. It's like wrapped in tinfoil. Mm-hmm. Axel's playing harmonica in a wrecked car, and TJ comes over to try to, like, talk to him and gives him an open bottle of Jim Beam and starts playing his own harmonica, which I guess is what men were to do if you were trying to bond back in 1981.
They didn't have
more
phones
harmonica
yet,
stuff.
So.
Yeah. And Axel says, look, I'm going to be honest. I'm with Sarah now. You left. We didn't know where you went. We didn't know when you'd be back. You kind of just ditched everyone and ghosted us. So I'm not going to back off of this for you. I'm going to be honest. You were gone for a year, and TJ says, you want to fight? Then you got it, because both of us know who Sarah really wants. And I think this is, like, with a climax, where, like, you just give me any little plot line about, like, a love triangle, I'm like, well, now I'm invested.
Yes.
I do want everyone to get murdered, but I do want to see how this shakes out.
Yeah.
Axel storms away, and Hollis goes over, and also everyone's, like, very level-headed. Hollis is like... Well, you know, I think you're being a little hard on him. Like, you did leave. I mean, like, what was Sarah supposed to do, you know? And TJ's like, you know what? You're right. Like, this isn't anyone's fault. It's just really frustrating. Plus, I do really like Axel. I was like, well, this is nice. Unfortunately, you're all going to be serial killed. Yeah. But, like,
get ready to get pickaxed to death.
Yeah. Allison, it is Friday, February 13th.
Okay.
So we're next day.
Okay, Friday the 13th and, wow.
Exactly. One more day into the dance and one more day... to die. Luckily in the morning, Chief Newby and the mayor call the state mental hospital again to make sure Harry Warden is in custody. The administrator, Mrs. Raleigh, tells them, well, I'm afraid I have no records of a patient named Harry Warden, past or present.
Uh-oh.
The chief says, okay, well, it's not possible. He was sent to you guys under court order. Like, he had a trial. What are you talking about?
Right.
And the woman says, look, I've gone through all the files. His file's not here, which means... one of three things. He's been transferred, he's been released, or he's on the slab. I was like, I think you should have a piece of paper that says one of those things.
And also, you would still have had him, like, he would then just be a past, like, patient. Like, it doesn't mean that just because he's not there now, like, doesn't mean that he wasn't there at some, like...
Especially if he had been transferred, you'd keep it. Or it's like, oh, so he's still somewhere.
Or if he's dead.
Right. Like, you'd have to have a record of his death. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? What's happening in this hospital administration system?
Chief Newby says, are you sure you looked everywhere? And Miss Raleigh says, yes, everywhere. Well, except the microfiche over in Centrifile. And I go, microfiche. We're going to see some microfiche. But she says, of course, it'll take a couple days to look at it. You know, microfiche.
Yeah.
And we'll call you. And the mayor says, floats the idea, maybe should I cancel the big dance since there's a serial killer, you know?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we see Sarah walking with Patty, who is Hollis's girlfriend, and says, I don't know what to do. And Patty says, look, you just have to make a decision. Who do you like more, TJ or Axel? That's the only way you could decide this.
Correct.
And she says, I don't know. They're both kind of being babies about this. Like, maybe I should shouldn't go to the dance at all. Like, you know, whatever. And Patty says, no, just come alone and you can hang out with Hollis and me and have fun and don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And also, they are like 22. I'm like, this is the right approach to this.
Yes.
I know, again, you're 22 in a very small town in 1981, so you're going to get married. But, you know, and Patty says, and you have to see my dress. It's cut down to here and slid up to there. I might not get out alive. I'm like, I love Patty. That's funny. Chief Newby goes to the laundromat to find Mabel. Fortunately, also, when he walks in, there's a terrifically bad smell.
Oh.
And all the hearts have been turned upside down. He opens up a dryer, which is has clothes in it and smells the clothes. That's not it. And suddenly the door of the dryer next to it pops open and Mabel's dryer charred corpse flops out as apparently the miner killed her and then put her in the dryer to dry.
I don't like that.
I don't care for it at all. And it looks disgusting.
I bet it does.
One of the Amazon like trivia notes said that, I don't know if it was this one, but I assumed it was, that one of the special effects props, when the first time the director saw it, he vomited. And I do think it was this one because it is pretty foul. If you weren't expecting, you're like, oh no.
Right, because you're like, okay, like I'm prepared for a dead body. I'm prepared for somebody who's been like slashed and axed. I am not prepared for like a dried out, desiccated, charred corpse.
She's also an elderly woman, which I think that makes it more of a bummer. I don't know. Meanwhile, in the mine, Axel and TJ keep getting into conflict. And TJ's like, oh, he's on me because of Sarah. And Axel sort of yells at him to do some specific mining task. And TJ shoves him, and they start fighting in the mine. And the fight gets broken up, and they both get yelled at. But you can tell the bad blood's brewing worse and worse. Yeah. Meanwhile, back at the laundromat, the cops are collecting Mabel's corpse. And the mayor arrives and says, we got to call Granville. We got to get some more cops here. We got to call in reinforcements.
Yeah, this is not for like a two cops, small town organization.
Allison, the police chief says, no, we call Granville, that'll cause a panic.
There's two corpses already.
And one of them got air fried. Like, what are you talking about? People should be panicking. And Chief Newby doesn't want to deal with it, though, so he tells his officers Mabel died of a heart attack. So if anyone asked you, that's what happened. And I don't want to hear anyone diverting from that story. And if they do, they'll have to answer to me. All right. Before they could take her body out, the chief looks down and sees something in her ripped open chest cavity. And he reaches inside. Allison, it's a paper Valentine heart. And he reads it aloud. It happened once. It happened twice. Cancel the dance. Or it'll happen thrice. Allison, what would you do?
What would you do?
No, I'll tell you what I'll do first. I'm canceling that dance.
Yeah, there's no question. Mayor even says, let's cancel the dance. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
You cancel the dance and you, like, call for reinforcements and you, like, search the town top to bottom until you can figure out who the hell is doing this poetry murder.
Yeah, what are we talking about? You're calling Clarice Starling, baby. You're calling the FBI or whatever the Canadian version of the FBI is.
Get some professionals in there. But cancel the dance. Ruined is brought to you by Factor. It is so hard to plan and prepare and eat healthy meals every single night of the week, but I'm super excited about Factor. You get every meal is fresh, never frozen, and is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. I mean, this is exactly what I need. It's spring. I want to do stuff. I want to stay fueled, but I don't want to waste any time preparing or shopping or doing any of the stuff that it is to feed yourself as an adult.
Absolutely, and I feel like we've all had the experience of like getting home and being like, oh my God, I can't cook an entire meal. So for me, Factor is a great option in terms of like having food there, like having food on hand. It's also me not wasting groceries. You know what I mean? You can imagine, you see what I'm like on the pod. You can imagine what my fridge looks like. In this way, I have prepared meals ready to go. They're healthy. They are waiting for me.
And it's great because you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. So like if you're going to be eating out a lot, you can do fewer. If you're like in a kind of a vegan mode, you can do vegan. And you can pause and reschedule deliveries all to just suit your lifestyle. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/ruined50 and use the code ruined50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code ruined50 at factormeals.com/ruined50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Fortunately, after reading this, Allison, they actually listen to you because the mayor says the dance is canceled. This is not good. And then she says, yeah, right, you got me. That's fair. But they still are not going to tell people about the murders. They're just going to cancel it and say it was because Mabel passed away. They go to the dance hall. Yeah.
Okay.
Would you buy that is what you're saying?
I can't decide if that's like a good or a bad idea. Like, I feel like people should be on alert and aware that there's murders. Yes.
I concur.
As opposed to just like a lady died.
Well, just from like reality, I feel like anytime the police have not told people about a serial killer, it's always like within the gay community or like the community of color. Right.
Or any other
just ends up with people being victimized. I understand people wouldn't want to be freaked out, but also like this is a question of, oh, we've had some murders. Are they connected? This is obviously connected, and this person is actively murdering people in our very small town.
Yes.
Everyone gets to the dance hall to finish decorating for the next day, and the chief closes the dance hall and says, the dance is canceled out of respect for Mabel. She passed away, and we just don't think it'd be appropriate. And all the gals are like, but Mabel would have wanted us to have the dance. Like, that bitch loved this shit.
Yeah.
She was all about it. If anything, she would have gone if she was alive. And the chief says, nope, that's the way it is. There will be no dance, and there better not be any kind of big blowout party in its place where people are in a different secluded area where they could get slaughtered. Okay, I better not hear about that.
Well, again, like, if you told people there was a serial killer out there,
they
wouldn't be as inclined to do that as just, like, the dance is canceled, we'll have our own dance. I'd be like, I'm staying at home.
And, of course, they're going to have their own party. Like, it's like, that is the natural, like, oh, we were already going to play it. Everyone has dresses.
Yeah.
Let's just hang out, right? So over in the mine, TJ is getting dressed and Axel gets on the mine and Axel's like, you and me have a score to settle, TJ. And TJ runs off like a coward and drives over to the store and basically takes Sarah and puts her in his car. And she's saying like, I don't want to go with you. Like, you're not even listening to me. They go park near like the place that was their spot, which is the bleakest lake. It is like beige grass, brown water, looking over the mines.
Romance.
And he says, remember this spot? She says, of course I remember.
Yeah, diarrhea town.
The music swells. They walk along the edge of the water. And she finally says, why didn't you write me? Why didn't you call? And he says, I'm sorry. I fell on my ass out there. I made so many mistakes, but I learned something. It's like, oh, okay.
Okay.
She walks away, but he grabs her and he says, Sarah, I have to tell you that I love you and I want you back. And she starts sobbing because her point is not like, oh, no, I'm dating someone else. Her point is like, you left me here.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were ever coming back. Like, that's the larger issue. Like, okay, I'm dating Axel, but, like, you abandoned me and didn't tell me what was going on. And he says, I am just so sorry. I am so damn sorry. And Allison, they smooch.
Ooh.
And again, I do want everyone to get hacked to death, but I do want to know how this all plays out.
Yeah, let's see these relationships unfold a little bit before everybody dies.
And luckily it does. They show up at the bar later, and Axel, I'm sorry, TJ shows up at the bar later, and Axel, who's already drunk, says, have you seen Sarah? And he tells him, it's not my turn to look after her, which I thought was a little rude, because, like, you just profess your love to her, you know? Yeah. But Sarah's walking home alone from work, and she's panicking, like, how do I tell Axel about this? I always do this. Like, you know, a woman, punishing yourself.
Of course.
And, of course, doesn't see that someone seems to be watching her from the grass.
Oh, no.
And she turns to see a flashlight immediately in her face. Luckily, it's just Chief Newbie, and he apologized for startling her. And he doesn't even tell her, go home and get off the street. Like, he doesn't even, he's like, hi. Good to see you at night, wandering around our town. We are obviously going to be serial killed. Meanwhile, at the bar, Happy's talking to everybody. He's like, I'm supposed to believe that Mabel had a heart attack. My ass, she did. Because he knows, you know, like,
right.
She absolutely got murdered. I know it. Meanwhile, as obviously what would happen when the dance got canceled, the miners and their gals decide, tomorrow we're going to have our own party. And TJ, because he's the owner's son, offers up the mine as the place for the party. Mm. And someone says, it'll be a blast, literally. I was like, I don't want a party anywhere where there's a buildup of methane gas.
Yeah, that's not fun. It's mostly gross and also dangerous.
Happy says, to his credit, and like so many wonderful gas station attendants, old weird men in town, yeah, says to him, you better give up that idea or you'll regret it. But of course, like, they won't. Okay. And they will. TJ, of course, tells him, Happy is just a legend and you better not tell anyone about our party, okay? Later, we see Happy is going to the mine. This is still like Friday night and the party's going to be on Saturday. We see Happy walking to the mine with a beer and a pickaxe, and he is rigging a prank to scare the miners and their gals, right? Mm-hmm. And he sets up a dummy in a miner costume with a pickaxe that swings up when you open the door. So they're going to open the door, scream, I'll be scared, and he'll laugh in the bar because, like, he won't be there. And he opens the door, he laughs maniacally at his own stunt. He closes the door. He opens it again and laughs. Allison, he closes it. He opens it again. You better believe it's the actual killer.
Yeah,
who, of course, pickaxe Happy in the stomach.
Obviously.
To death. Allison, it's finally Saturday, February 14th, Valentine's Day.
Finally.
And all the miners and the gals arrive. And I was like, are they going into the actual mine? But they're sort of like a mess hall for all the guys. So it's like a cafeteria set up with a pool table. So they're just going to bring beers and food in there. I was like, okay, that's more reasonable.
Yeah,
I didn't know what the fuck we were talking about.
That's a lot more reasonable.
Yeah. So they all run in there and they've all, like, they're boiling up a big pot of hot dogs, which I'm not going to lie, wouldn't hate it if at a party. Big
I'm not a hot dog fan.
That's really, what, you more of a hamburger gal?
Yeah, more of a hamburger gal.
I love
them. And both. I like a sausage, like a peppers and onion sausage sandwich. Ooh. But I don't like hot dogs. It's, I think because hot dogs,
I get that.
They are like, I don't know, if you're, depending on where you're from, like, they're really a vehicle for ketchup for a lot of people, and I don't like ketchup, so it's kind of like.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yeah.
I love ketchup so much. I would say a burger is also, to me, a vehicle for ketchup.
Bad burgers, yeah.
Chief Newbie checks in at the station, and his officer Ben says, this came for you. Allison, it's another heart-shaped box.
Oh, boy.
And, of
Guys,
course,
don't open them.
He's like, hey, Ben,
also,
can you give me—
came from where?
Right, like, who's dropping them off?
Who dropped that off? Like, was it, got? Did it go through the mail? Like,
I think
you
were thinking, this one is from the mail.
Okay.
So, he tells Ben, can you get me a coffee? He opens it. It's actually chocolate. He laughs, and it says, be my Valentine. It's from Mabel. And his eyes water. Because she's dead. Hmm. TJ arrives at the party and says, everyone needs to park in the back. I don't want the cops to see them. We're not supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. One of the other minor guys, Dave, goes into the kitchen to get some snacks. And he says, ooh, a big pot of hot dogs. And everyone's like partying and already getting drunk in the main room. Yeah. So they're playing music. So it's already kind of loud. Unfortunately, Dave reaches for a hot dog only to have the miner grab him from behind and plunge his face into the boiling hot pot of hot dog water, which is now a new fear and a new terrifying way to die.
That is horrific.
Chief Newbie, back at the station, says, I'm going to go check out the mine. But unfortunately, he doesn't even have a chance to, because when he walks outside, there is a new actual bloody heart-shaped box on the ground that a bunch of stray dogs are eating.
Oh, awesome.
And this one, the killer didn't even bother with a limerick or a rhyme. The note just says,
like a piece of a body.
It just says, you didn't stop the party. And Chief Newbie yells, what damn party? And of course, there's a human heart in there. It's Happy's heart. Meanwhile, at the party, Axel's already drunk, is trying to kiss Sarah, and Sarah needs to tell him that she's going to break up with him and get with TJ. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it just happened, so I'm like, well, it's a complicated situation, you know. She says, could you please stop? And TJ says to him, like, why don't you back up off her? And Axel's like, you know what? Everything was fine until you came back to town. I don't know why. Like, don't you tell me what to do with my girlfriend. And Sarah says, I have my own mouth. I could speak for myself.
Okay.
And then TJ says, well, then why don't you use it and tell him? I was like, that is not the way to approach this. And so then Sarah didn't say anything. So TJ says to Axel, she wants me back. Axel takes a swing at TJ, and they start physically brawling until Hollis breaks it up. Axel grabs a beer and he stumbles out to go cry outside. TJ apologizes to Sarah, but she's kind of over it. She's like, I don't even care anymore. Like, just leave me alone. I don't want to talk to either of you. You're acting like children. Mm-hmm. Patty goes with her to console her. And in the mine proper, we see that Miner John and his gal Sylvia are making out under, I guess, there's like a laundry for their Miner jumpsuits, yeah, which makes sense. You need a new one every day because they're disgusting. So basically they wash them all and they have like rows and rows up to like a warehouse full of jumpsuits that hang to dry. Mm-hmm. And she says, well, how do you get them if they're all the way up there? He goes, look, I'll show you. And you pull the rope and then like a whole line of them drops down at the same time. And they all fall on top of them. They all laugh. And they're having a good time. So you know they're about to be murdered.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. And Sylvie says, you know what we need? And John says, don't worry, I've got one right here. And she's like, oh, no, I meant a couple beers. And he's like, yes, of course. Let me go get some. You stay right here. I'll be right back. John goes into the mess hall. And there's this incredible moment where Gretchen and another woman who I don't know what her name is are fishing out the hot dogs and pulls out a obviously boiled human heart. And John's like, oh, my God, what a hilarious prank. They must have gotten, like, a cow heart. That's so funny.
See, this is why the town needs the information that the police have, because then you'd be like, oh, no.
Yeah.
This is no prank.
We also, as he says that, he's looking at them but reaching to grab a six-pack out of the fridge, and so he does not see that Dave's severed head is sitting in the fridge next to the beers.
Oh, my God.
Back in the mine, Sylvia, of course, starts to see the rows of miners' clothes swaying above her. And then all of the shower heads start turning on. So she goes over there and says, John, if that's you, if you're trying to scare me, you're doing a great job. Suddenly, all of the lines of clothes start plummeting and dropping in front of her. And even though it's just clothes, it's actually well done. Like, she's screaming and it's panicking. It looks like figures of men are dropping in front of her.
Yeah.
Finally, she turns around and there is actually a man. It is the miner. Mm-hmm. Who grabs her by her screaming head and hauls her into the showers.
No.
And when John gets back and he sees the showers going, he, of course, is like, oh, okay, we're going to get freaky in the shower.
No.
Hang on 1 second. He walks over and it's so foggy he doesn't see right away.
See, not
he finds that Sylvia's head is jammed over a shower head, water streaming from her mouth.
That is disgusting.
Yeah.
That's my thought on that.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, Chief Newbie gets a call from Miss Raleigh over at the mental hospital. It's urgent, Allison. Over back in the mess hall, a bunch of gals and some of the guys want to go into the mine because the gals have never been in the mine.
Could it be me?
No. So Hollis and Patty, Harriet and Stavinsky, Sarah and Howard are all going to go into the mine for a quick ride on the cart. And TJ stops them and says, you know the rule, no women in the mine, which I don't like as a feminist, but as a woman who has seen this movie, it's a solid idea.
Even if I had seen this movie, I'd be like, I don't want to go in.
But they're like, no, we'll be. House is like, it'll be fine. Like, we'll just take them on the cart and bring them back up. It's not, we do this every day. It's not going to be a big deal. So they take the mine cart for a ride to the mine. It does seem, I'll be honest, a little bit fun. Yeah. Other than the fact you're breathing in, you know, petrochemicals.
Right.
And Hollis goes to, they get to the bottom of the mine, and he's like, that's where the active mine is, and over here is the abandoned part of the mine, which has been abandoned for 20 years since the cave-in.
Let's not go there.
Harriet and Stavinsky sneak off to canoodle in the mine.
No mine canoodling.
Back up in the mess hall, Gretchen finally finds Dave's severed head in the fridge, just as John busts in with news that Sylvia has also been killed. Axel immediately and correctly understands, oh my God, Harry fucking Warden is here. And there's a serial killer. We got to get the hell out of here. So at least most people had the wherewithal to get out. Everyone's running over to their jalopies, tires screeching, windshields falling off. However, Axel realizes that Sarah went into the shaft. And because he was drunk stewing, he doesn't know that, like, she and TJ also aren't talking.
Yeah.
So he goes up to TJ and says, we have to go down and get her. And so they literally, like, clasp hands.
Working together.
And they run into the mine to save the woman they both love, Allison, who will survive.
Who will survive?
TJ will survive, and Sarah will survive, and Axel will die.
Okay, great. And then what about the miner? Do you think the miner will die?
I think the miner will be presumed dead, but actually have escaped.
All right, great. And then just based on where we are at in the movie, what do you think about everyone else in the mine? Do you think they're getting out?
I think everyone's going to die in the mine.
Yeah, they sure are. They absolutely are. Speaking of, Hollis and the gang underground, they are ready to come back up, and they don't know where Stavinsky and Harriet are. Like, they, Stavinsky and Harriet went over to go canoodle somewhere, and they're like, we have to find them to come back up. We can't leave them down here. Yeah. Unfortunately, in the distance in the mine, they hear the sound of glass breaking.
Oh, okay.
And we see it as the miner with his pickaxe smashing the light bulbs on the wall and sort of plunging the tunnel into darkness.
No.
As he comes towards them.
Darkness.
Meanwhile, Gretchen and some of the guys have gone back to town. They see the chief's truck as they drive into the gas station. They jump out and said, Harry Warden is back. He is at the mine, and TJ and Axel went down to save Sarah and the rest of us. And the chief says, boy, I wish I had told people about this.
Yeah.
And now I have to go into the mine. Not only is there a serial killer, serial killer's in the mine.
Right.
So he hops in his truck, puts on his lights, and he calls in reinforcements. So at least he did the right thing then. TJ makes it into the mine and finds everybody and says, Harry Warden is back. He killed Dave and Sylvia. We got to get out of here. And Howard tries to say, but he's dead. And TJ's like, I don't know what to tell you.
Right. Well, someone killed them. We think it's him. Either way, let's...
Whoever it is. Yeah, and Sarah's like, this better not be a joke. He's like, does it look
a joke?
Like I'm joking? I came out of the mine to get you. So TJ and Hollis go to basically find Stavinsky and Harriet. Like, we have to just find them. And the girls, you stay with Howard. And Howard immediately starts panicking, like, oh, no, we're all going to get killed. Unfortunately, Hollis, who now has a miner's hat with the light on it, like TJ trying to look around, finds Stavinsky and Harriet all right. They are dead with a gigantic drill bit pierced through Mike's back and then into Harriet's chest. Literally, they screwed. Allison, you see.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Thank you. That's that tiny drum you have in your house.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Hollis, unfortunately, turns around to see, of course, the miner's helmet light shining in his face.
Yeah.
And the miner shoots Hollis in the forehead with a nail gun.
What the f...
But he survives long enough to stagger back to Howard and the girls, and Hollis dies in the arms of his girlfriend, Patty, who's screaming, no, over and over again.
That's
and that
so
really
kind
of got me. I was like, oh, no. And he was like... Oh, he was the glue that held the group together.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, in the distance, they look down the mine, we see another miner approaching.
Uh-oh.
And Howard runs off terrified. But Patty does not want to leave Hollis.
Yeah.
Even though Hollis is dead.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where, like, nail gun to the head.
We're going to have to come back
later.
Keep
it moving.
I know. And so Sarah slaps Patty across her fucking face. But then Patty's like, you're right. Okay, we got to get out of here. And they grab Hollis's forehead light. They turn to see a miner approaching and scream, but luckily it's just Axel. So Axel grabs them and takes them over to the cage to get to the surface. Even though Patty's begging, like, please, can we take Hollis? I don't want to leave him here. And it's unclear, like, Hollis is obviously dying, but it's not clear if he's actually dead.
Dead yet, yeah.
Yeah, so she's just like, please. Unfortunately, they hear someone approaching. Axel picks up a log and swings it and just hits TJ in the dick. Like, it just hits him. He's fine, but he's just pissed.
Yeah.
And they say, okay, great. So the problem is that Hollis is dead and now Howard's run off. But we just have to get the girls up. Like, if we just start sending people up.
Just get out of here.
Because the longer we're down here, the more of us seem to be dying.
Yes.
Unfortunately, when they get to the cage, they realize that the killer has smashed the control panel. Allison, this is when they have to climb up the stories high metal ladder, which must be like the emergency ladder, because you have the cart and the elevator. The ladder must be either for, hazing newbies, or if there's a fire, like if something is totally broken down, then you can climb up the ladder to get out.
Yeah.
These gals have to climb the ladder in heels.
Ugh.
Again, a new terror. I didn't even know. Like, the idea of climbing a four-story metal ladder covered in grime while a serial killer is chasing you in the dark in heels.
While there's a serial killer afoot killing people and you've witnessed some horrific violence. I mean, it just... I couldn't do it.
And that's why I really appreciate it. Like, you spend a lot of time with them on the ladder. And I was like, this was an interesting choice this late in the movie to, like, sort of focus on, like, Sarah panicking and going up the ladder. But it's really effective.
Of course.
Unfortunately, as they climb, a body drops from a noose and then plummets to the ground. It's Howard. Yes, the miner is above them.
No.
So now they have to climb back down.
Okay.
And they say, okay, we're going to go back to the rail cars. But the reason they hadn't gone to the rail cars is they have to cut through the sump pump room, which is like pumping water out of the mine to keep the mine dry. So they have to basically wade through filthy mine water. And Axel's last, they turn to say, Axel, are you here? We hear a splash and a groan. And they run back and there's sort of a broken guardrail. And we see the sign of his miner's hat disappearing into the water. Oof. And the girl told TJ, like, go in and go get him. And he's like, it's not possible. It's 60 feet deep. We just have to get the fuck out of here.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No. Why is it all so awful?
So now we're down to TJ, Patty, and Sarah.
Okay.
TJ says, go ahead of me. And then the girls hear part of the mine collapsing. And TJ is either buried or just cut off from them. But either way, TJ is stuck in the mine. So now it is just Patty and Sarah. And they got to get out of there.
Yeah, they got to get out.
Allison, they immediately run headlong into the miner, who buries a pickaxe in Patty's stomach.
Oh.
Leaving only Sarah.
Sarah. Hopefully our final girl, but I don't know.
She hides in the mine, and a hand grabs her shoulder. Fortunately, it's TJ.
Okay.
He has managed to find another way out of the mine. And up on the surface, reinforcements are arriving. The chief is there. And there's a ton of guys.
Okay.
And Chief Newby's like, we're just going to walk down the mine cart route. So you can walk alongside the mine cart.
Okay. Yeah.
We're just going to walk down. TJ and Patty, meanwhile, jump on the mine cart as it starts going up to the surface. And the miner leaps on the back. It's a really good idea for a set piece, like a train fight, like a top on. But it's going so slowly. That it's just like, it doesn't give you what, it's great on paper.
Yes. But in reality, it's very, it's reminding me of like, there's like a comedy somewhere that like makes fun of like how slowly things are happening.
And they, the miner attacks TJ and essentially is like, they are battling. The miner has a pickaxe and TJ has a shovel and they're kind of fencing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they leap off the cart and the miner attacks them. Chief Newby and the guys towards the surface see the cart go by. Empty but covered in blood from this brawl. And finally, the TJ and the miner, they're hand-to-hand combating as they walk through the tunnel, and there's an entrance marked Keep Out. And through their battling, they end up going through the entrance. It is the abandoned part of the mine because of all of the methane gas that builds up and the mine collapse.
Yeah.
So we are now in the collapse part of the mine. And the miner attacks TJ, and Sarah lunges at the miner to try to stop him and pulls off the mask, revealing the identity of the miner. It is Axel. Now, why would Axel do all this? Well, as we see in flashback, Axel was the son and one of the two supervisors that Harry Warden killed and that inadvertently, but did, cause his imprisonment and descent into insanity and cannibalism.
Yes.
So naturally, as is the lesson of so many horror movies, if something bad happens to you as a child, you will become a serial killer.
Yes.
And TJ's able to shove Axel off of him, and Axel slams into the wall, triggering, again, of course, a cave-in.
Yes.
TJ and Sarah are able to escape back into the mine proper, and they run into Chief Newby and the mayor, and they tell him it's not Harry Warden, it's Axel. And the chief says, I know, I just got the call from the state mental hospital. Harry Warden died 5 years ago.
Okay.
So it's like, well, I'm glad we have that information now that we don't need it.
Yeah, that we should have gotten that right before the reveal.
Agreed. To see it now, it's like, yeah, no, we know.
It's like, well, hey, got it.
Also, it's not even like he died in like a crazy way. Or it was just he died in the hospital? Okay.
Yeah, right.
However, all the other guys go in to try to dig Axel out. And from back of the abandoned mine shaft, one of the rescuers screams, he's alive! And Sarah still has feelings for him, runs back inside with TJ in hot pursuit, and they peer at sort of this little area they've cleared out to see Axel, whose arm has been torn off in the collapse. In this absolutely tremendous end shot, Allison, we see Axel, who has now presumably been driven insane, as he staggers deeper and deeper back into the mine, shouting,
Harry, Harry, I'm coming. This whole fucking town is going to die! We're coming back, you bastards!
They start singing, Daddy, Daddy, gone away. Harry Warden made you pay. Sarah, won't you be my bloody Valentine? As he sort of scrambles into the mine, dark, down into the mine. And then over the fucking credits, there is an excellent song called The Ballad of Harry Warden, which tells the story of this fictional legend.
Oh.
Which I loved.
That's fun.
And it reminds me of, do you know the song Timothy by the Buoys? It's about somebody being trapped in a mine and having to eat somebody.
Oh, no, I don't know that song.
So I think they were evoking that, which I loved. I loved having a folktale about a fictional
legend. I love that.
I love that. So that's the end.
Wow.
My Bloody Valentine.
Yes.
So Allison, what do you think is some fatal mistakes that may have been made in My Bloody Valentine?
Yes.
Fatal mistakes.
I mean, it all goes back to being more excited about the party than making sure that everybody clocked out of work safely. Like,
yes.
Had everyone just taken time to make sure everybody would, like, there would be no initial disaster to inspire this slaughter. That being said, present day, not telling the town there was a serial killer afoot.
Yeah, I mean, there you have it. I mean, when even the mayor is the one floating the idea of canceling and you're arguing...
Yeah.
Why?
And then, with that information, though, everybody might not have had the party in the mining area because...
Yes.
They would have been aware that there's, like, a mining-related serial killer afoot.
Yes, exactly. 100%.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But other than that, I mean, look, love triangles are going to happen.
Yeah.
You know. Everyone else, they're just doing their absolute best.
They are.
But this is on Chief Doobie. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then where would you place My Bloody Valentine on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I think I was initially going to go lower than I am, but when I think back to some of these deaths and kind of the mask and the breathing and the being trapped in mines, I'm going to give this... an 8.
Ooh, okay.
I think the woman's head on the shower really...
Yeah, that really...
ratcheted things up for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna give it a 6.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. I love the Valentine. It just made me want to paint hearts on my walls. Like, I love a Valentine theme.
Yeah, it's great.
Visually, I thought it was just like this great. Also, it's like this explains like why would you love Valentine so much? It's like this gray town with like these bright pink hearts everywhere.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Love it.
I'm going to give it a 6. I wasn't scared at any point, but I do really appreciate a lot of it. I'm going to give it a 5. I wasn't scared. But okay. I think that might just be because that part of my brain has been permanently broken.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes.
But I thoroughly enjoyed it and a towering achievement in the classic slasher genre.
Yeah.
Run, don't walk out of the mine because
the
killer is there. All right, well, everybody, again, please check out our Patreon. We are going to, one of the Patreon movies this month is Would You Rather?
Yeah.
Which also had a very interesting dinner party in it.
Yes,
so if you want to hear more about that, please join us.
Join. And Patreon makes a great gift if you're still looking to buy gifts. You can, if you have a ruined fan in your life and you can't think of what to get them besides a box with a heart in it or a severed head or... any of the other numerous disgusting things that these movies suggest, you can always gift a Patreon membership to somebody. I think that would be a delight. I have no idea when the holidays might be over, but people need gifts all year.
Absolutely.
Well.
Bye.
Oh, wait. Bye. Oh, wait.
Oh, goodbye. Oh, sorry. goodbye. And also, until next time, please.
Please. Keep it spooky.
Don't forget to follow us at Ruined Podcast and Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok for show updates. And if you're just as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa.
From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Ewa Okolati.